Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
This is Sports Sunday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Oh, you Trekkies and TV addicts. Don't mean to diss, don't mean to bring static. Come on. Oh, you cling onto your grandma's house. Grab your back street friend and get loud. Blowing doors off inches. Cracking with the pinches. And no,
one of my all-time favorite Beastie Boys songs. They did this on... They did this live on David Letterman once, when David Letterman was still on CBS. And they filmed it. It was live. They started out on the sidewalk outside in New York City. And they're walking down the sidewalk for probably 2 blocks. The camera's in front of them, and they're walking towards the camera, and they move around whenever it's their turn to sing. And then they end up in the studio, and they're jamming in the studio. And then they try to jump over by David Letterman's chair, and they're rapping in front of him, and they would not turn on the studio light on David Letterman to get his reaction. I don't know why, but David Letterman had the Beastie Boys on a lot. He was a big fan of the Beastie Boys.
He always had like a lot of the alternative music groups, but have you seen the Beastie Boys movie? Awesome. I blanked and shot that. So cool.
I probably watched it 10 times.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite things. It's so cool. When you see Ben Stiller rocking out in the concert, that's one of my favorites.
And it was such an original concept to give cameras to random people in the crowd and have them shoot whatever they wanted, and then they put it all together.
Yeah.
And at one point, if you haven't seen the movie documentary, you can't say the whole title on the radio. Awesome.
Awesome, I shot that. There's some bleeping in between.
Awesome, I blanking shot this. So, at one point, they leave the stage. The Beastie Boys leave the stage while the band is still playing. They get in an elevator. They go up to like the top of the arena they're in. They come out, and they're going down through the crowd. Rapping in the crowd. It's fantastic. So that's my Beastie Boys dialogue for today here on Sports Sunday. Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City. My name is Brad Porter. Another beautiful spring day. Jed Marshall is running the show today. Still to come on the show, Colin McCourt is going to join us at 10:30. Talk Sporting KC. Another win last night, extending their lead in the Western Conference. At 11 o'clock, David Leske from Baseball Prospectus will join us and try to answer the question, why was Whit Merrifield not asked to pinch hit in the ninth inning last night? Because I'm still scratching my head about that. And at 11:30, Jared Sutton will join us, former Missouri basketball star, current NBA scout, SEC television analyst. We'll talk some NBA playoffs. So all that's still to come at noon. Danny Klinkscale will be in with Baseball Tonight, get you ready for Royals and Tigers as they finish up their series at Kauffman Stadium. And then at 2:30 this afternoon, NBA playoffs, Golden State Warriors, New Orleans Pelicans. It's not. Jed Marshall shaking his head. I thought maybe we got a different email. I don't know. Anyway, we want to turn our attention now to the Kentucky Derby. And for that, we go to our friend Andy Sweeney from ESPN Louisville, who has one of the best Twitter handles on Twitter. At the only Sweeney, which is, I think, is hilarious, and it's great, and it's original. Andy Sweeney, thank you for joining us. Are you still recovering from Derby festivities yesterday?
Yeah, it's 11 o'clock here Eastern time in Louisville, and I would say people are groggy, and I know myself, I'm usually a 6-7 hour sleeper. And I think I took about 10 hours of sleep to get past yesterday.
So you were enjoying the festivities, shall we say. Were you at the track?
Yeah, I was at the track, and, you know how it is there at 810. It's the same thing here. Event like this, we're going to go out. So, you know, I was at the backside of Churchill Downs Monday through Thursday. Actually had Friday off. The Kentucky Oaks is always fun. As well as is Thursday of Derby Week. It's now labeled as Thurby, which is just another way to get people into, to gamble and drink Woodford Reserve. and then absolutely was out there milling about, was all the way from one of the Millionaires Rows yesterday all the way to to the animals, and not the infield, but the animals on the front level. So it's always one of the greatest spectacles. Whether you like horse racing or not, it's just an absolute spectacle.
You know what kills me? We're talking with Andy Sweeney from ESPN Louisville, talking a little Kentucky Derby, all the things that surround it. One of the things that kills me is when they go down Millionaire's Row, or they go they run the camera by the trainers, and then you see the kids in the background, like 7 and 8 year old kids, who are all wearing suits that probably cost more than my car. It's crazy.
Yeah, we always laugh about it here, and I'm sure there's a place in Kansas City that has something. So there's a place in Louisville called Steinmart. I don't know if it's a national chain or not.
Yes, we have Steinmart here, yeah.
Okay, you can buy Derby-themed clothes there, and it's not that much. I mean, you can go and you can get a suit, you know, like a seersucker-looking suit or some bright colors. You can get a bow tie. You can get the pink socks. You can dress yourself for about $100 or so. And the funny part is, me and my wife were there yesterday, and we were laughing at it. When you're on the Millionaire's Row, and then when you go down to Level 1, you can tell the difference between the Steinmart and the Vineyard Vine. or whatever it may be. But you're exactly right. I mean, it's in those winner circles, you'll have kids, and you do wonder if they know exactly what they're being a part of, you know? I mean, I'm with you on that.
Yeah,
Kid Rock was there, too. Talking about Millionaire's Row, Kid Rock was there.
I'll tell you what, yeah. Kid Rock, and we're going to go off on tangents here. I love Josh Briscoe is another on-air personality here and at ESPN Kansas City, and he'll go off on tangents, which I love. So a little tangent here, Kid Rock. So New Year's Eve this year, or the week going into New Year's Eve, some friends of ours had a corporate suite for the New Year's Eve concert at Sprint Center featuring Kid Rock. And so they asked us to go, and I'm like, you know, I like Kid Rock, but you know, I'm thinking in my head, Kid Rock is going to be hammered. He's going to stumble around the stage. This is going to be a complete disaster. I've never seen him live. Kid Rock came out for 2-3 hours and kicked ass. It was an awesome show. And then I thought, well, midnight's going to come and they'll play some tune and then they'll march. They played like another half hour after midnight. But Kid Rock and everybody in his band, right down to the dancers, kicked ass for 2 or 3 hours at Sprint Center. It was awesome.
Yeah, one of the things that we were able to do is, you know, they have the red carpet there at Kentucky Derby, and like they do everywhere, you know, with all these different things. They had the red carpet. So, you know Jason Wynn, who just retired, you know, he comes through, and you know who he is. And there was, you know, Aaron Rodgers and some of the Green Bay Packers, and they come through, and you pretty much know who it is. And Kid Rock comes through, and you know who it is. And there's some actors and actresses. But it's just funny when a celebrity comes through and you have no idea who it is.
Yeah.
you just have no idea. Like, some people didn't know, Lynn Dawson was there. I'm like, that's Lynn Dawson. Come on, you got to know who that is.
He's the Hall of Fame, baby. I was in television for 20 years and then moved over to radio here at Sports Radio 810 WHB. And I know people who have done the red carpet line. And I'm like, you know, some of these actors and actresses, I have no idea who they are. They say, this person was in, I'll make up a name, Robot John. And I'll be like, I don't know who that is. Well, you know, they have their earpiece in, which we call an IFB, and they'll have producers standing with them or behind them, and they'll tell them into their ear, this is John Jacobson. He was just in the latest Star Wars movie. He had a bit role. And so that way you don't look stupid, because me, I wouldn't know who 70% of the actors and actresses were. I wouldn't. Or the musicians.
Yeah, like that happened to me once yesterday, and I'm sure maybe you or some of your listeners would be absolutely, would be hating me for this. But Sammy Hagar was around there, and he's lost a bunch of weight. He still looks like Sammy Hagar, but he had glasses on, and you knew it was someone popular. Someone, you know, people are getting pictures of him. He's got Gucci belt and Gucci shoes with wolf print all over his, wolf face and prints all over his shirt. So you know his outfit is, you know, $20,000,
right?
Or whatever it was. But yeah, Sammy Hagar hanging around. But that's one with me. I had it narrowed down 4 or 5 guys. I didn't know who it was. Ask someone who just took a picture. Oh, Sammy Hagar. So there you go. There's my story of being a dunce. And I wasn't a fancy TV guy that had a producer in my ear either. You know, I was just walking around.
Well, we had we carry Kansas athletics here at Sports Radio 810 WHB, including KU basketball, and Don Johnson, the actor, was at a game, right? And you think, God, he spent his whole life on television and did a musical album. So he spent his whole life on television. Everybody knows who Don Johnson is. But like you said, Sammy Hagar lost a bunch of weight. Don Johnson's a little rougher looking than he used to be just because he's getting older. And it took a while. And people are looking like, I think that's Don Johnson. And I did a quick, I think I Wikipedia searched him. He went to KU. And I think he may have a kid that goes there. But Don Johnson went to KU. And there he is in the stands. I would have loved to have met him. Yeah, Don Johnson was there for probably a year. But I would have loved to have met him. I love Don Johnson.
Sure.
We're talking with Andy Sweeney from ESPN Louisville as we tangent all over the place here and there. But that's how it goes sometimes. So the Derby festivities are going on. I think they announced the attendance as 158,000 plus or 157,000 plus, and you know it's huge. How many people can actually see the race? The infield is full, and especially it was rainy and muddy and disgusting yesterday. How many people can actually see the race?
That's a great question. it's a great question because. Probably not as many as you think. I mean, it's like many sporting events. Now, if we're not going to talk about the pageantry and the social aspect of the Kentucky Derby, if we're going to talk about seeing the game, it's just like the NFL or many of these other games, right? It's like you go to a Final Four. KU goes to a Final Four, which may or may not be vacated in the future. We know something about that here in Kentucky. Yeah, when we know something about vacated wins, okay?
Yes, we'll, you do.
we wrote the book on it. We're great on it. Anything you want to know, just come to me, and I got all the answers for you. But it's like if you go to one of these massive stadiums, a football stadium, okay, to watch KU play in the Final Four, you're going so you're there.
Right.
You're going for the story. You're going for, you know, I mean, so for the Kentucky Derby, when 150,000 people, you know, drunk people are losing their minds in that moment where Justify's coming down the backstretch, or when they walk out and do My Old Kentucky Home and they trot around for 15 minutes, you know, though that's the reason you're going. You're not going so you can see every pass in a two-minute race, and you're not going to, you know, Detroit for a football stadium or San Antonio and these huge stadiums to see KU play. Not because it's going to be the best seat. It's not going to be Allen Fieldhouse. It's not going to be watching it on CBS or ESPN or NBC for this matter with the Kentucky Derby at home. So, listen, I could see the race, but it's like I don't know how much you guys are into NASCAR. How many tracks can you see all the way around in NASCAR? The answer is not very many of them.
Well,
right?
We have a special case at Kansas Speedway when they designed the track here, and what they did is they have the backside of the track is actually elevated. So when you go around turn one, then you go into turn two, and you're already going kind of uphill. So if you're in the front row in the main grandstand, you can see all the way across to the other side of the track. And they designed it that way on purpose, and it's a thrilling experience. I've been a couple of times, and it's a thrilling experience.
Yeah, so what they do is they have two big jumbo monitors, and then Churchill Downs went out a couple years ago, and they built up. I mean, you can Google and see pictures. It's still, you know, I don't know how many feet it is in the air, but they built this huge, you know, massive HD state of the art thing. So if you're on the front side, which everybody is, you can watch it. It's kind of like think of I mean, I've never been there, but think of Jerry World, Jerry Jones,
sure.
Dallas. That kind of jumbotron that if you're sitting way up, of course you're not going to see Ezekiel Elliott 4-yard run, right? But you can look on that jumbotron. People did it when the basketball was there. In basketball games and whatnot. So that's the kind of thing that they've really added over the last couple years. But I would say, you know, I was on the fourth level and up there. Hobnobbing, you can see it really well there. I was down on the middle section, like a 200 level for the Derby itself. And again, you can see when they come by, you can see down the stretch. But as far as seeing every pass when they go out of your distance, kind of like an old NASCAR race, you're just going to miss stuff. But again, you're there for the pageantry. You're there for the social aspect. You're there for the bourbon. You're there to be there and not always just to see the race.
Two final Derby questions for you, and then I'll ask you a little bit about Louisville athletics. We're talking with Andy Sweeney here on Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. My name is Brad Porter. All right, two Derby questions here for you. One, you mentioned you're there for the bourbon. Have you, I'm sure you have you had a mint julep, and what is your impression of the mint julep? I've never had one, but most of my friends who have tried one say it's disgusting.
It's not my thing either. No, if I'm going to enjoy some Woodford, I'm just going to, you know, do it on the rocks or a splash or something, right?
Right.
I'm not going to, yeah, listen, some people like them. It's a heated thing here, but I would say if you tally people even here and then people who have no connection to here, like in a Kansas City or you go to Phoenix or New Orleans or whatever it may be, yeah, I would say that people probably aren't the biggest fan of them. But I'm telling you, they are selling. I would love to know the booze numbers coming from yesterday because, I mean, to get yourself one of those Woodford, and that's what you get, is Woodford and Old Forester. To get especially a Woodford in a mixed drink, I think it's $14.
Oh,
my gosh. The Old Forester was $11.
And then don't they have the $1,000 one with, like, the gold flakes in it or something? I don't know.
Oh, they got one that's more than that. I think around the backside they were promoting, much like, you know, the backside of Churchill Downs on Wednesday and Thursday, there's some peddling of products, like if you go to a Final Four in the, you know, college basketball or Super Bowl Radio Row. So it's not to that magnitude, but there's some products being peddled. I think it was a $25,000 one.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, no thanks. Yeah. All right, final Derby question for you, Andy Sweeney. Biggest celebrity that you've either seen or interviewed at the Kentucky Derby that you were just stunned to see? Because you and I, you know, working in sports business, you meet famous people virtually every day of the week. But
right.
What celebrity, actor, actress, musician, athlete that you were just stunned, like, oh, my God, I can't believe that I'm this close to that person?
Oh, I want to say, well, this year I passed Aaron Rodgers,
okay,
and Tom Brady a few years back. You know, Brady always comes back. I would say, yeah, see, this is the biggest problem that me and you have is when you're around these guys, You take it for granted, right?
Right.
The normal person doesn't get to sit next to, you know, your team, Bill Self or something like that. And I don't know if Bill Self's a star. I don't know if he's Tom Brady or not. Oh, goodness. There was one on the tip of my tongue that I had. There were, I mean, Kirk Herbstreit was there, but that's nothing new. And he actually didn't have great seats. Sammy Hagar I saw. The cast when Lost was really big. You remember Lost, the show?
Yeah.
I mean, they blew in there. That was interesting. I may have to get back to you on that one.
Okay.
There's been, I mean, 7 or 8 years now, you get kind of stale just to seeing, I guess, you know, politicians around there. I mean, like,
yuck.
P. Diddy yesterday, you could see, you know, P. Diddy was around there. I
don't know, okay,
like P. Diddy. I don't know if that's what he's even called anymore.
It's P. Diddy, it's Puffy, and then it's the Lion or something.
Kid Rock was walking by. We mentioned Kid Rock. He had his White Castles there, too. I mean, Kid Rock was walking through, the 100 section, which is where, you know, that's where the animals are, you know. That's where the real drinking is going on. Let me think on that. Because,
okay.
I mean, you just get to see all the basketball people come through. You know, when Patino was here, he was not there this weekend, you know, for many obvious reasons.
But, yes.
Patino, you know, Patino would always come through. And then all, you know, Kentucky's put so many guys in the draft in the Calipari era, 7, 8 years, that a lot of those guys move in through. So it's not crazy to see. Now this year I didn't see as many, but you know, Terrence Jones or DeMarcus Cousins or John Wall or some of these other ones that have been to the Derby. Let me think on that one, because the stars of stars go to level 6, and some of those, like, that's a really difficult place. If you can weasel your way into level 6, you are at the very top of hobnobbery at the Kentucky Derby, and that's where they all go. I would say, let me amend. I would say if the horse, and this is something you guys probably didn't follow, there was a horse in the Derby named Gronk.
Yes,
Gronk,
he didn't make it.
Gronk bought in a little bit on it.
Yeah.
And he bought in on it, again, to go to the Derby and have some fun, right? And I think if I could have saw Gronk, that would have been cool.
Okay.
That's one I'll put up there.
He knows how to party. We've seen the videos. We're talking with Andy Sweeney from ESPN Louisville here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. My name is Brad Porter. You mentioned Rick Pitino, so let's transition to that a little bit. And the off-the-court stuff, because here in this area, Kansas' name has come up in the FBI investigation with Adidas, and Kansas is listed officially by the FBI as a victim here because they were defrauded because athletes may have received money from either the shoe companies or an agent.
Which is stupid, by the way.
Yes, but they have to use the word. They have to use the word victim to base their case on, but they're no victim here. They're no choir boys. So Kansas and perhaps the fans are worried about what may come out of this. Kansas should be worried because we don't know where this investigation is going. But what is the atmosphere like in Louisville now? They've got Rick Pitino gone. The AD tried to claw his way back with both hands, and they dragged him out kicking and screaming, which I love the AD that tries to hold on. Just like all those all the turds up at Michigan State who won't go away after this scandal up there. But what's the atmosphere? Is it like, okay, we're Louisville and we'll be okay, we'll still get the big dogs, or is it we may have a couple of rough years here?
Yeah, okay, so the answer to this, if we were doing this interview a month and a half ago, would have been completely different than the answer now. And I think the question that you pose is the exact one that we are trying to sift through and figure out in Louisville. And here's what I mean. So Chris Mack, a month and a half, 2 months ago, Chris Mack gets hired. And Chris Mack was always the shoe-in at U of L. People talk about Chris Mack angling for this Louisville job and Louisville liking Chris Mack all the way back from the old athletic director that you talked about kicking and screaming, Tom Jurich. I mean, there was a thought process that he really liked. He liked other guys, Matt Painter being one of them from Purdue. But he really liked Chris Mack. Chris Mack's wife is from Louisville. Her family lives here. And so it's an hour and a half down the road from Cincinnati. It's not a systematic move. These are kind of guys, Midwest guys. He's recruited. He knows the area. This is simple. So Chris Mack gets hired a month and a half, 2 months ago. And I think the media was wrong and fans were wrong and I was wrong. And that is, I thought, you know how this is, when with maybe any sport, but did you guys cover, but what? Kansas football, maybe, right? Okay. A new hire happens, and look what happens. I mean, look what happened in Missouri when Nkonzo comes in, right?
Right.
Look what happens. I mean, Michael Porter Jr. and his brother come in. Like, this is like Louisville fans were, and that sure as hell wasn't happening with Tim Anderson, right?
Right.
So, like, for Louisville fans, they knew it was so late in the 2018 recruiting process that it was going to be difficult to salvage anything probably in the 2018 class. And if Rick Pitino were here, Louisville was going to have one of the top classes in the country, and I think they'd get Romeo Langford, who picked Indiana last week. I do, personally. And so Louisville lost everything. They lost their wins. They lost their coach. They lost their AD. They lost their stability. They lost any sort of dignity they had. I mean, they lost everything in all of this. And so you hire Chris Mack. You overpay, I think, for Chris Mack. But you hire Chris Mack. You love Chris Mack. And you're thinking, we are going to get a jolt of energy. Okay, we're not going to get the Porter brothers like Missouri did, but we're going to get a jolt of energy here. And this is going to energize the fan base. And it has to happen. I mean, they went out and they targeted six graduate transfers, and they missed on all of them. And Louisville was also in beforehand with Pitino. And then in the last couple weeks, I don't know how much you guys follow the commitment of Courtney Ramey. I know Missouri was kind of involved in that.
Yep.
And the Rameys jerked Louisville around, and he was on campus, and he was off campus. It was all nonsense. So they didn't get Courtney Ramey. He goes to Shaka Smart in Texas. And so Louisville fans were deflated. Okay, maybe if we get a guy like Courtney Ramey, and he's a guy that's going to be around a couple years, wow, salvaging that in a month. Hell, that's a great job for Chris Mack. So that doesn't happen. They go all in on multiple graduate transfers, and Louisville has playing time to offer, a ton of playing time to offer. And I think Chris Mack's a pretty good coach, and Louisville's a pretty good program. And so you can sell the grad transfers. Yes, Louisville's going to be in trouble in the future, but for this coming season, you can come here, you can get all the playing time in the world, you go with Chris Mack. I mean, there's a lot of playing time here, whether you're a big or a guard. I'm telling you, Brad, there's a ton of playing time here. It's a great program with the exposure in the ACC. And if you think you can play something next level, that can help out. And it hasn't happened. Chris Mack, for whatever reason, has missed out on every grad transfer. Now, he picked one up late last week with a guy that averaged 7 points a game at Samford. Not Stanford, Samford, like S-A-M, Ford,
right.
Samford. And so I think fans were just hoping that there would be this energy and elation and some capitalization on, feeling good, getting Chris Mack, and he would land some guys. Because Louisville right now, they have a nice core, but they are not an NCAA tournament team. And the thought process was, go get a couple of these grad transfers. Maybe Courtney Ramey comes, and boom, you're an NCAA tournament team, and then you can really get this thing going. The thing that we underestimated is what's being said about Louisville and what people think of Louisville. For Louisville to go out and whiff on this number of what I would consider, maybe not elite, but really good players in the grad transfer market. It tells me that the kids, and we'll see what this next, you know, actual high school class, this 2019 class, by November, December, I think we'll see and have some clarity with Louisville. But I think it's troublesome because it's telling you you're not going to be a tournament team this year. You're trying to turn things around. If that 2019 class isn't one of the better ones, if kids are worried because the hammer's going to fall with the FBI stuff, because why? Louisville has been the face of the cheating. It hasn't been Kansas. It hasn't. It was Sean Miller for a week, and then Mark Schlabach, I think, has tweeted one time since that story came out. So there's something that's tricky there. That got dismissed. Kansas, they played the victim card. I mean, this is, you know, this is me from the outside, 35,000 feet. Like, you're looking at our program. I'm looking at Kansas. I mean, Bill Self has been down in the mud on these recruits and has had a lot of small fires, right? I mean, you can go back 5, 6, 7 years. You know, Bill Self having guys that have been ineligible or guys kind of riding that line of eligibility and shadiness. And so I think the Louisville fan is in for it. I think the FBI could come over the top in 2, 3, 4 years. I think in the interim, I was expecting Louisville to have some energy here, and they just haven't had it. I mean, they just haven't had it. And unless something changes in the next month or so, I mean, these rosters are getting locked pretty much. Unless something changes, man, I'm telling you, this is going to be a team that's maybe a 500 team, an NIT team maybe. They're not an NCAA tournament team. They're not even close.
Hey, Andy Sweeney, I appreciate your time today talking Louisville basketball investigations and also all the festivities of the Kentucky Derby. I know nothing about horse racing, but it makes for fantastic television. So I appreciate your time. Go back to your Derby / Cinco de Mayo recovery program for the day, all right?
Yeah, thanks so much, guys. Take care.
Hey, Andy, thank you. I appreciate it. That is Andy Sweeney from ESPN Louisville. You can follow him on Twitter at The Only Sweeney. And I think that's the second or third time we've had him on. He's really good, a lot of good information. So, and the Louisville program for basketball does not look good. Not a pretty picture.
I love Andy. I think he's hilarious.
He's great. No, he's awesome. I'm surprised he had that much energy. I was worried about the energy level since he was out so late.
I don't know. Maybe he nursed it and just kept it, rolling. He had a lot of energy.
Keep his level,
yeah,
I guess.
Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe Connell would know something about that. Yeah. He's Irish. We'll ask him next.
All right. So Andy Sweeney, we thank him for joining us here. Still to come in the show, David Leskey at 11 o'clock talking Royals baseball, why Whit Merrifield did not pinch hit in the bottom of the ninth last night. I'm going to ask him that. And at 11:30, Jarrett Sutton, former Missouri Tigers basketball great, NBA scout. We're going to talk NBA playoffs. But coming up next, Connell McCourt. You may have known him as the Irish intern, but he's actually gainfully employed. So he's not an intern. We're going to talk to him about Sporting KC, a 1-0 win last night over Colorado at a Children's Mercy Park, extend their lead in the Western Conference, and lots of good stuff there, although the second half, left a little bit to be desired in terms of entertainment. So that's coming up next. You're listening to Sports Sunday. My name is Brad Porter. We're broadcasting live from the Rally House Studios, and you're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Sunday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Nate Mucady on the call. Sporting KC beats Colorado 1-0 at Children's Mercy Park. Game was on Fox Sports Midwest last night. Did not get bumped. Thankfully, the Royals played the day game yesterday, because when it gets bumped, I get in trouble because I don't have the Fox Sports Go app, which Jed Marshall
was on Fox Sports 1.
It's on Fox Sports 1.
The Royals game was, so it would have been on either way.
Oh, it would have been on either way. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So we were good to go. Good to go either way. The important thing is Sporting KC won, wherever they go. So. Good stuff from Nate Mucady there. It was live here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Connell McCourt joins us in studio now, and I wrote this down from the last time we had you on the show. Mm-hmm. I think I called you three different names during the show.
Oh, you did?
I think I called you Connor, and I think I called you Colin, mm-hmm. And then finally we got to Connell. We finally got it right.
Yeah.
Got it straightened out.
I've heard your name
a thousand times on
the
Border Patrol.
Don't worry. Honestly, I'm used to it. I would hazard a guess and say there's not one other Connell in the Kansas City metro area, so I can forgive people for not you know, recognizing the name.
Well, we got Liverpool and Chelsea on the TV screen here in the studio. I'm a big Liverpool fan, so I'm all about that. Game doesn't mean much for either team. Liverpool's got a Champions League final to get ready for against Real Madrid. Want to keep people healthy. But are you into either team?
No, neither team. I know Jed's a Chelsea fan, but no, yeah. I'm neither team. I'm just Celtic.
I just
love the Premier League.
Yeah, I'm Celtic.
We have an
too.
FA Cup to worry about, an FA Cup final.
That's true. No, the FA Cup final next week, yep.
I destroyed my Celtic jersey in the washing machine. St. Patrick's Day, I tried to clean it, and the big logo on the front came off, and the sponsor logo came off, which is fine, but it left a horrible mark in it.
Been there, man.
All right, so Sporting KC, I know you work for the TV crews with Nate Bucati. Last night's game, this was just my impression. You give me yours, too. I thought the first 15 minutes were pretty frenetic, pretty good, pretty fast-paced, physical. Mm-hmm. A lot of guys getting chopped down and shoving and... Sporting KC built up and got the goal, which the goal by Shallowy was awesome. The cross came in. It built up all the way from the back. And was it Matt Beisler or Ilya?
Beisler started? Great ball from Beisler and like headed across.
60-yard bomb.
Opara.
Yeah.
And Shelton, Kerry Shelton.
Just hit the woodwork.
That's it. Came back off the woodwork and just happened to fall for Shallowy. So.
Yeah. And Shallowy got a nice up angle to get it over Timmy Howard. And it's one of the things I tell the kids all the time. Keep running at the goal.
Mm-hmm.
Just because somebody takes a shot, keep running because you're going to get something
absolutely,
like that.
Yeah.
So that was great.
Yeah.
All that stuff was great. Shallowy continues to build his case for getting more minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest of the game felt kind of clunky, like it was an idle little bit. And I don't think Colorado was intent on doing a whole lot other than, is it Baji, who is a great young player. I thought he was terrific for Colorado, but... just kind of dissolved into knocking the ball around the park. I mean, Sporting had a couple of other chances, but...
Well, that's the crux of it. I mean, basically what you just said. I mean, Colorado knew coming in that they're not as good a technical side as Sporting, so they have to do and play to your strengths. They have to make the game physical, try and get it very stop-start so Sporting don't try and get their cohesive play, you know. And for the most part, they did it. You know, they broke it up. They were... very physical in the first half. They were putting themselves about. The guy McBean up front was throwing in elbows like he's had done previously against Sporting as well and stuff. So that was kind of their game plan coming in, to make this game as stop-start as possible, just so Sporting couldn't get in the rhythm. Because, I mean, once they get playing, they can do things like they done to Vancouver 2 weeks ago and beat them 6. So, I mean, I think that's why it wasn't... I mean, going into it, I wasn't expecting a very exciting game, like, but... even for me, it was a bit. Even the second half was tough to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Tough to watch, hard to. And as Matt Lawrence said last night, it's even hard to commentate on. You know, just because there's not that much going on, just because of all the stop starting. You know.
And they clearly, Colorado clearly had a plan not to let Johnny Russell do much of anything. He had a couple of opportunities to run inside the box, run at guys, but they were chopping him down and doubled. As soon as the ball was even floated his direction. They're sending two guys on him, and so they were not going to let Johnny Russell do anything to beat him, which Johnny's going to have to learn about this league. There are teams who, when they're not as good, they're just going to keep chopping you and double team all the time.
Well, that's it. I mean, they had a man marked for the majority of the game. Mm-hmm. They had a big center half called Tommy Smith, who would not give Russell an inch, would not get, because he knew, and you've seen it, the later it went on, the more Colorado started to tire. Johnny Russell was getting some touches in the box. He was having an opportunity to run at him because that was Tommy Smith's worst fear last night. And that's why you've seen he was very, very close, touch tight. Every time Russell was anywhere near the ball, he was in showing his presence, letting them know he was there. And I think that's why we kind of seen a bit of a boring game last night, because, I mean, players like Russell weren't able to play just because. I mean, you can't really knock Colorado, because that's what they have to do to get a result. They're coming in knowing they're not as a...
they were playing for one. Colorado was playing for one point.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And when they came out, they were hoping to get a goal and sit back and bunker in. So I think the goal came at the right time for Sporting. If it hadn't came early, you could have probably seen an old cagey affair the whole game.
Yes, absolutely. We're talking with Colin McCourt here on Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. I am Brad Porter. Sporting KC 1-0 over Colorado at another sellout crowd at Sporting Park. And, I was watching the pregame with my oldest last night. He loves playing soccer, And it's not often that I get to watch all of the pregame because normally I just have so much going on. It's just when the game starts at 7:30, I know it's not going to actually start till 7:36 because of TV. But I got a chance to watch some of the pregame last night, and I still love the fact that Sporting and Stadium, I don't know how many clubs in Europe do this, but they, when they're coming through out of the locker rooms, they walk through the fans, and they're Matt Beasler's high-fiving all the kids and everybody out there, and it's great. And to me, that got me a little more excited for the game, and I've missed it so many times because I just don't have time to watch. And then the game started. But the important thing here, though, is Sporting gets another full 3 points.
Absolutely.
A couple of teams had some negative outcomes, LAFC and some teams that were trailing. I think Vancouver. Kai Kamara tweeted out, hey, sorry about this one. We'll try to do better. But they get it's now a four-point lead, I believe, now in the Western Conference.
Yep.
And that's big. And this, look, Major League Soccer is a league that shifts week by week by week. You're in first place this week. You're in 3 weeks from now, you're in sixth. That's the way it goes. But to lead by four, considering all the new players they brought in this year, I think says a lot about what Peter Vermes did this offseason to kind of rebuild the front part of this team.
Well, that's absolutely. I mean, recruitment's been key. He brought in Kyrie Shelton up top, Johan Kwaze, and probably most importantly, Felipe Gutierrez, who for the first 5-6 games of the season was the best player in
scored
the country.
Scored in every game. First five games he scored,
By an absolute mile. And he's been hit by this injury, which he's going to be out for 2.5 to 3 months. So, I mean, it's going to be... They will definitely miss him, no doubt, but hopefully the other recruits that Peter Vermes has brought in Shelton and Kwaze, can, you know, keep playing the way they're playing, I suppose. I mean, Shelton needs a goal.
The one player I get asked about is, when is Kyrie Shelton going to score? I'm like, he's still pretty effective.
I mean, well, I have a certain degree of sympathy for him because, listen, Peter Vermes isn't all about, he has to score lots of goals. I mean, he has to get, just for on paper, he has to be scoring goals. That's not his type of system. He knows that Shelton is doing everything that's asked for him apart from score. He's assisting goals. He's great hold-up play. You know, he's great in the air. He's a big physical presence up top. And he's bringing other players into the game, the likes of Shallowey, the likes of Russell, who have been running that players, the likes of Gutierrez in the first couple of games. So I don't think he's too worried, but you're a centre forward. At the end of the day, you're going to be judged on your goals. And until he breaks his duck, until he scores, he's always going to have that monkey on his back, you know?
I was looking at the lineup last night going in, and with Felipe Gutierrez out, as you said, 2.5 to 3 months with the sports hernia, which kind of came into, I don't want to call it injury, into fashion, but it's kind of became more well-known.
I think it's just
7-8 years ago.
I think it's just not as bad as a hernia. I think it's just like a tear in a muscle or whatever, but I mean, I'm no doctor.
So. No, neither am I. Not even close. So I was looking at the lineup, and Jimmy Madronda, who's been playing left back, is out on the wing on the left side, and Lobato gets to start at left back. And I'm wondering if this is a product of Peter Vermes, I think, believes that Madronda's a natural winger as opposed to a left back, and with Felipe Gutierrez out, need to get him more doing that. And you got to, you know, get Lobato some minutes. And this was the right night against a team, Colorado, that hasn't played well to try some things out. Lobato went, what, about 60 minutes? And then Kwaze came back and came into the game. So maybe Peter's trying to feel some things out in that game last night.
Well, I mean, Madronda is a player that every coach wants on their team because he's so versatile. He can play anywhere. Honestly, like he's played everywhere except for goals. So I mean, he's played up top as part of a three, played in the midfield as part of the three, and played on the back line as well. So he doesn't have anything to prove. Madronda's a good player. Fitness levels sometimes he probably needs to up on those, but he's a very good player. With Lobato coming in, I mean, that kind of took me by surprise that he started Lobato because I thought he would have played Seth Sinovic, just because he came in last week. But I think Peter Vermes is very clever. He knows that Colorado are coming and they're going to sit back and they're not going to attack much. They're going to try and do what they did last night. So he started a more attacking left back. Like, so Zusi on the right, Lobato on the left, and they're both bombing forward constantly, you know. And that's when Sporting are at their best, when they're full flow and attack, free flow in football. So I think he was trying out. I think he tried Lobato in at left back, pulled him out after, 65, put Kwaze back in because Kwaze didn't have a great game last match. So he certainly is. I think he's trying to use a couple of different options to see where he can try and make up for the loss of Gutierrez over the next few months. And I don't think Madrona did bad last night in the midfield, and I think he can play there as long as Peter wants him to.
Absolutely. We're talking with Connell McCourt here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Sporting Kansas City 1-0 over Colorado last night, now 4 points ahead in first place in the Western Conference. Looking ahead, it's now, as we talk about all the new players that are here with Johnny Russell and Felipe Gutierrez, even though he's out, and Quaze, part of the learning experience when you come to Major League Soccer from Europe is the travel.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you take a flight, if you're in a European league, your flights are 30 to 45 minutes.
A lot of English teams, a lot of German teams,
they just take buses. Yeah.
Just because it's so close. I mean, you can get there in 2 and 3 hours. You know.
So you're going to deal with the travel, which is going to be new. It's going to wear on you.
Mm-hmm.
And coming up here, in the not too distant future, is the weather. And in Kansas City, you've been here for a while now to know what it's like when mm-hmm. we get to 95 with 90% humidity. Guys like Johnny Russell aren't used to it. Felipe Gutierrez probably is, mm-hmm. being from South America. But some of the Quaze has not been here. So this is going to be part of the learning experience for them, is fighting through the long, hot summer of Major League Soccer.
Absolutely. I mean, especially with in Russell's case, because remember, he played 4 or 5 months of a season back home before he got here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he played for Derby County. I think his last game was around the middle of January, January 18th, 19th. And so he came in and got a bit of a rest, because Peter Vermees obviously knows that this is a long, hard season. I mean, it's not as much games as they play back home, but as you're saying, the weather is, that would just wear on them so much. So it's going to be a learning curve for them, but Sporting are very prepared in that they'll have the boys acclimated to that. Like, they'll be very prepared. They'll know the hydration and stuff will all be, it'll all be spot on. And with that pinnacle, that new sports.
Right.
Training facility that Sporting have got is, from what I'm led to believe, one of the best in the world. So I don't think they'll have too much of a worry, just sort of getting the new lads bedded into that. But as you say, I mean, it's going to be long, it's going to be hard, it's going to be grueling. So time will tell.
And I was just scrolling up. I lost my place for the next match for Sporting. Okay, Atlanta United, pardon me. I just lost my spot for a second, but that's coming up Wednesday.
Yeah.
So quick turnaround, trip to Atlanta. The stadium looks terrific on television.
Yeah.
And they sell, 50,000 tickets a game?
Yeah,
I mean, it's nuts.
50 upwards of,
yeah.
50, yeah.
And they've taken a very different approach than most expansion teams, at least of the past.
Yeah.
They went out and signed a bunch of Central and South American young kids, mm-hmm. 21, 20 years old, 22 years old, and paid them a lot of money,
yep.
to come here, and they're having success. And Sporting has done, kind of made that flip to signing much younger players and not going for the Zlatan Ibrahimovic. What I'd love to see him at Sporting KC, sure, but you know, you're signing the 20-year-olds, and Atlanta has kind of done that from the beginning, and they have a lot of really exciting young players and an exciting coach.
Absolutely. This will be a very, very tough test for Peter Vermees' men. They have signed a bunch of young, exciting players. I mean, Miguel Almiron, they have Ezequiel Barco, those types of players coming in. And these are players these are game winners. You know, they can affect, that's why you pay them the big bucks. That's why they come in, because they put the ball in the net. They can grab the game by the scruff of the neck and win it for you, you know, when it looks like the points are getting away from you. So it'll be a tough test down there, but I think Sporting are prepared for it. I think Peter Vermees will go in there knowing the system, knowing what he'll have the boys drilled and what they want to get out of the game. And I think if you offered him a point right now, I think he would bite your hand off for it.
So. I'll take a point in Atlanta, sure.
Mm-hmm.
We need to take a break here. Can you stay for a few more minutes?
Absolutely, yeah.
I got one more question about Sporting for you, and then some world stuff. World Cup coming up, even though U.S. is not in it, and I'm still not over it. It's going to be even worse when the World Cup's here. But I'll ask you a couple of those questions as well. We're talking with Connell McCourt about Sporting KC and some world soccer coming up next. You're listening to Sports Sunday. My name is Brad Porter. We're broadcasting live from the Rally House Studios, and you're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Sunday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Back on Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City. My name is Brad Porter. We're talking with Connell McCourt about Sporting KC.
Those kids that have to be lucky charms.
All right.
It's a disgrace.
It is.
What I get put under here.
You should file a complaint. Yeah. HR department.
HR department, yeah. Yeah.
I don't think we have one, so
no,
good
you
luck.
May not have.
Yeah, yeah.
We were talking about the adjustments that all the new players for Sporting will have to go through, learning the travel in the U.S., the weather in the summertime. One thing is also dealing with players on teams leaving for the World Cup this summer, mm-hmm. because MLS plays through the World Cup, whereas yep. the rest of the world does not. Sporting KC is in a situation where they're a little bit fortunate the U.S. didn't make it, because there was an outside chance Matt Beisler would still be with the national team. Graham Zusi was probably a long shot.
Yep.
Don't ask me why Tim Melia is not getting a look in goal, for crying out loud. But so they won't have to deal with that. Chile is not in, so Felipe Gutierrez, who's injured yep. anyway, wouldn't have gone. And mm-hmm. all the other major players that might have had shots, their countries are not going. So Sporting is going to be in a bit of an advantage
yep.
because most clubs are going to lose one, two, or three players
yeah,
this summer.
It's always going to be some of their best players, too, because you don't get on national teams, especially ones that make the World Cup, when you're not a good player. So there'll be some big notable absentees around the league, and luckily for Sporting, they're not going to be mm-hmm. losing anyone.
So I'm a soccer fan, so World Cup, I watch games even when it's not the U.S. I watch as many games as I can. I'm a little bit... I don't know how I'm gonna digest or take in this year's World Cup, because I'm gonna be mad. I'm gonna be angry. We're not there. It's mm-hmm. it's we're now our country's program is now to the point where it's an embarrassment not to make the World Cup. Italy didn't make the World Cup. I thought they were gonna burn the stadium down.
Yep.
I mean, that's, you want to talk about embarrassing. And the Netherlands didn't make the World Cup, and they were in the finals a couple of World Cups mm-hmm. ago, for crying out loud.
Yep.
So. Other countries this happens to, countries that are expected to win World Cups. So if the U.S. is not in it, I have to pick a team, yep. a different team. My kids are half Mexican, so I'm going to have that part of it. Sweden is in, and my mom's side of the family is a big Swedish side,
okay.
So I'm going to go there, and then I'm just going to enjoy the rest.
Yeah.
So what are you, being from Ireland, you're going in rooting for?
Actually, Colombia, probably.
Okay.
Yeah, because
they're a fun team to watch.
I just have a bunch of friends here from Colombia, so
okay.
I now have a Colombia jersey and I'm waiting on the World Cup coming. So, but yeah, I mean, listen, I feel your pain. I've watched many a World Cup that Ireland haven't qualified for. This is obviously another one.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the U.S. not making the World Cup this year was just for everyone, like for just even the sport in the States, because Nate is always talking about the previous World Cup
mm-hmm.
down in Power and Light District, 15,000 people.
Oh, it's nuts. It was
every
crazy.
Game,
it's was a blast.
He said it was the best time he's ever had in his life to do with soccer, to do with broadcasting. So it's just a massive, massive missed opportunity for the U.S. I mean,
right.
you feel like the sport's got a bit of momentum behind it these last couple of years, and then especially with the last World Cup, the U.S. doing so well. Just the casual fans that even would have watched one or two games and, I kind of like this.
Right.
You know what I mean? Just to miss the...
Yeah.
It's just, I mean, it's devastating
for all involved. 8 years between World Cups is what it's going to be by the end. And I know my kids are getting older, and I hope World Cup comes here in 2026, because I would like for us to all go to
yep.
some games together. All right, final question for you. Champions League, the biggest competition in Europe.
Yep.
My team, Liverpool, mm-hmm. is in the finals, which I think stunned a lot of people.
Yeah.
And Barcelona's not in it. But they got Real Madrid.
Yeah.
And I mean, Cristiano Ronaldo, enough said. So your pick for Champions League champion.
I actually think Liverpool can beat. Honestly,
they're great in these one-offs, right?
I my two brothers are Liverpool as well.
Okay.
I grew up in the Liverpool household, but it's tough to say just because of Ronaldo. Because when the chips are down, when they need someone to show up, Ronaldo, every time,
yes.
every time, he just always, and that's why I think he's the best in the world. But if there's anyone that can get at that defense, I mean, Real Madrid aren't great defensively, Liverpool, granted, aren't either.
Mohamed Salah.
But there you are.
Coming for you.
And he could be the difference.
And he could be
Salah, Firmino, and Mane running at them, I don't think Real Madrid will fancy that.
And Salah's going to be a world star after the World Cup this summer with
Absolutely.
Egypt. Hey, Connell, thank you very much. Appreciate you coming in, and enjoy this beautiful Sunday we've got ordered up for you, all right?
I will indeed, my friend. Thank you.
All right, we'll get ready to take a time out here and then begin our third hour. David Leske from Baseball Prospectus will join us, talk Royals. Why did Whit Merrifield not pinch hit in the bottom of the ninth last night? And then later on, Jarrett Sutton will be in to talk NBA playoffs. Two fantastic finishes last night, and more still to come. You're listening to Sports Sunday. My name is Brad Porter, broadcasting live from the Riley House Studios. Jed Marshall is producing, and you're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB. Now he's gone, now he got a free, he got a cook, got a car. He's only 1 year old, he's running numbers from the bar. He's paid his people.
This is Sports Sunday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.